The time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana, the news presented by Samuel Issa
and Doreen Ampofo.
In the headlines, President Mahama makes first ministerial reshuffle. Mental health advocates call for implementation of Mental Health Act. 51 people die in Libya after consuming locally brewed alcohol. And papal election begins today at the Vatican. First, the summary by Doreen Ampofo.
President John Dramani Mahama has announced a change in regional ministerial positions less than a month after appointing them. Greater Accra Regional Minister Nila Yafute Agbo takes over the Volta region, whilst the Ashanti Regional Minister Samuel Sapon moves to the Central region. Western Regional Minister Paul Evans Idu becomes the new Bunuahafu Regional Minister. Stay tuned for the rest of the changes. Mental health advocates have called on government to implement the Mental Health Act. The director of ARC Foundation Ghana, Angela Janabwadi, noted that it is high time policymakers played active roles in issues of mental health development. The call was made at a training session for stakeholders in Accra. More than 50 people have died in Libya and hundreds hospitalized after consuming cheap locally brewed alcohol. Libyan health officials say the deaths occurred from methanol poisoning and many patients are undergoing kidney dialysis for treatment. And 115 cardinal electors will today begin voting to elect a new pope. They will attend a special mass this morning before processing to the Sistine Chapel to begin their deliberations. The electors will vote four times daily until two-thirds can agree on a candidate. The election was prompted by the surprise resignation of Pope Emeritus Benedict last month.
Radio Ghana, the ultimate news reference. We are reliable. The world listens to our voice.
The news in detail. President John Dramani Mahama, in line with his vision to foster national unity, integration and cohesion, has effected a ministerial reshuffle. Ashanti Regional Minister Samuel Sapong moves to the Central Region. The Bonafu Regional Minister Eric Opoku moves to the Ashanti Region. The Central Regional Minister, Ebenezer Kwejote Abdo, takes up office as the Western Regional Minister. The Eastern Regional Minister, Julius Debra, becomes the Greater Accra Regional Minister. The Greater Accra Regional Minister, Nila Yafute Agbo, moves to the Volta Region, while the Upper East Regional Minister, Dr. Ephraim Avianso, becomes the Upper West Regional Minister. The Upper West Regional Minister, Bid Ziedeng, is the Northern Regional Minister. Mrs. Helen Ntoso, the Volta Regional Minister, moves to the Eastern Region, while the Western Regional Minister, Paul Evans Edu, becomes the Bunuafu Regional Minister. Minister of State at the Presidency, Alhaji Limuna Mohamed Uniru, moves to the Upper East as Acting Regional Minister. A statement signed by the Executive Secretary to the President, Raymond Atuguba, says the ministerial reshuffle is to enable the regional ministers to focus mainly on the political and technical coordination of the development efforts of metropolitan, municipal and district assemblies.
The Greater Accra Regional Office of the Electoral Commission is holding a two-day meeting with stakeholders to review the 2012 presidential and parliamentary elections in the region. The EC Commissioner for Operations, who is responsible for the region, Kwejo Safukantanka, said the meeting is to identify the challenges in the 2012 electoral process and come out with strategies to improve on future elections. Linda Guji was at the meeting and has filed this report.
The review meeting is part of the project which seeks to enhance the credibility of Ghana's 2012 elections. It has been attended by representatives of all political parties, security services, the NCCE, presiding officers, returning officers, observers and some EC officials. Lack of communication and trust between political parties and the electoral officers and the quality of electoral staff were some of the major issues raised by the representatives of the political parties. They suggested the use of teachers in future elections to help prevent or reduce the challenges that erupted during the 2012 elections. The EC Commissioner in charge of operations, Kwejo Safukantanka, noted that political parties themselves contributed to the problems, adding that political parties always present people who have not been trained as polling agents on election day.
They don't bring the staff that they want to use. Why? Because they are afraid that if they indicate their staff for the various polling stations, maybe using the word in comments to be watched by their opponents. So at the end of the day, they come with people who we have not trained. An election is a very huge assignment. We are here to review the activity.
The Greater Accra Director of the Electoral Commission, Alexander Poku Akubia, highlighted the key challenges the region faced during the 2012 general elections.
There were some key challenges. The frequent breakdown of the voter registration kits, and we have to replace them, but it took some time. So also we have the freezing of the laptops. The operators, some of them were not very competent in the manipulation. It was another challenge. Party agents disregarded the procedure that was to be followed in the challenge of an objection to a person's application to register. To mitigate this incident in the future, we should appoint people who are, excuse me to say, level-headed and reasonable in their approach, that will not be overly partisan in the discharge of their roles and at the registration centers.
It is expected that new strategies that will help to enhance the credibility of future elections will be developed at the end of the meeting. Linda Gojis out that report.
The Minister of Justice and Attorney General Marietta Brewer-Pierpong has warned that Ghana's democracy risks becoming a sham and the future bleak if attention is not paid to good citizenship and responsibility. She noted that democracy is not just voting every 4 years to elect a president and parliamentarians, but the citizenry taking up their rights and responsibilities. Mrs. Apiopong was speaking at the 54th Law Week. Brighton Trauma has more.
The Attorney General and Minister of Justice, Marietta Brewer-Pierpong, explained that taking up rights and responsibilities means paying taxes and handling other obligations as enshrined in the Constitution. She said, there is a mistaken belief that because Ghana is democratic, the law has gone on vacation. The first thing that a Ghanaian lawbreaker who is confronted with his or her action says is, I know my rights. She asked whether those people also know their responsibilities. She said the democratic echoes demands higher standards like constructive criticism, modesty, fellow feeling and good citizenship. This, she said, is not to suggest that our leaders should not be held accountable.
Democracy needs more than just a ritual of mechanically pushing pieces of paper into the ballot box every 4 years, or waking up in the morning with the freedom to criticize and sometimes rain baseless abuse on the executive, the judiciary, the legislature, or civil servants. The democratic ethos demands higher standards such as constructive criticism, temperance, modesty, fellow feeling, and good citizenship, as enumerated in Article 41 of our 1992 Constitution. Now let me be clear, I'm not advocating a heavy-handed approach to law and order. Neither am I saying that we should not keep our leaders and institutions on their toes. No, what I'm suggesting is that our democracy risks becoming a sham and our future is bleak if we do not also place an equal measure on responsibility and good citizenship.
A Supreme Court judge, Justice Joseph Bawa Akamba, who represented the Chief Justice, said the fact that players in the 2012 elections have taken the dispute arising from it to the Supreme Court is a sign of confidence in the ability of the judiciary to deal with such disputes. He lauded Kenyans for going to the court to challenge the election results rather than resorting to violence.
The judiciary, as custodians and interpreters of the law, must live above the truth and dispense our duties without fear or favor. We, as the judiciary, derive our strength from our independence, devoid of corruption and the crop of total of cases that come before us. The disputes arising out of the 2012 elections and the fact that all the main actors have chosen to resort to the court for redress is a sign of confidence in the ability of our judiciary to deal with such issues, and also a milestone in the development of our democracy. Many countries, including Zimbabwe, Kenya, and La Côte d'Ivoire, could not survive their electoral disputes, resulting in violence and destruction. In order to address these unpleasant situations, the three main countries have all embarked on the reform of their laws to address future occurrences. Indeed, where they failed, we survive. This time round, it is refreshing to hear simmering desire to mount a legal challenge to the presidential election results announced in Kenya last week. This greatly contrasts the lawless resort of violence the last time around.
The FRC president, Samuel Akwabattles, entreated the students to take part in their celebration.
Brighton Trauma Reporting.
A policy analyst with Imani Ghana, Kofi Bento, has asked the National Health Insurance Authority to harmonize its procedures with service providers to cut down on delay in payment. Speaking on Behind the News, he said the authority's activities must not be politicized, noting that the welfare of the citizenry must not be subjected to short-term policies which are often changed by politicians. Mr. Bento said the NHIA must work hard towards paying service providers promptly to keep the system running.
The National Health Insurance Scheme was set up after the health system in Ghana was set up. So we had hospitals running, we had everything going on, and then the National Health Insurance Scheme was set up to augment the system or, you know, be part of the system and hopefully improve it. The thing that we must note, the managers of the scheme must notice, is that the National Health Insurance Scheme must adapt to the health system. And if you have an insurance scheme which in essence is trying to use both public and private, okay, facilities, then you must appreciate the way their systems run. They buy medicines, they have to pay staff, they have to maintain facilities, they have to buy equipment. And if you are coming to take up the bill of the citizenry for these people, you must adapt to them. I see many efforts by the National Health Insurance Scheme, because of their size and the power of government that they have, trying to make the health providers adapt to them in terms of when they are paid, how much they are paid, and all those little things. When you do that, economics sets in. People are simply going to make economic decisions which is in their interest, and that is what you are seeing. There is no way you can use political power to upset economic fact. And so what the managers of the National Health Insurance Scheme must appreciate first is that they must adapt to the providers and pay the providers when the providers want to be paid, okay, and then make sure that they can run their businesses profitably, and then they also can run the National Health Insurance Scheme profitably. When you have a problem like what we have on hand, it is not right for the managers of the scheme to sound like they are blaming the providers of health. They are the problem. They must solve that problem within the scheme and adapt to the health providers. Because at the end of the day, when they're the two elephant fights, it's the people who are going to hospital who are suffering.
That was a policy analyst with Imani Ghana, Kofi Bento.
Meanwhile, the communications consultant of the NHIA, Ameto Kwame, says arrangements have been put in place by the authority to settle the debt owed health service providers. He said service providers in about four regions have been paid. Mr. Kwame said the Ministry of Health is committed to giving them money to settle all service providers across the country. Mr. Ameto Kwame was speaking on Behind the News with Kingsley Obenchire.
So far, we have paid in the Bonga-Hafo region, Ashanti region, and Eastern region up to the end of October. We paid up to the end of September in Greater Accra and Upper East region. We got further releases from the Ministry of Finance this season, and we will be paying the remaining five regions starting from tomorrow.
So the payment is up to end of October. Is that what we are being made to understand?
Yes, so far. You know, we have it's a credit scheme which we are running.
Mm-hmm.
A 90-day credit scheme. So all our service providers know that this is the scheme. So the bills for January will be due for payment at the end of March.
Mm-hmm.
So what we are concerned with now is what we owe them up to the end of December.
Mm-hmm.
And the ministry is committed to giving us money to clear. So that is what we are doing. We are hopeful that we will be able to clear all the bills.
Why is it that at various points in time we hear that there are arrears up to about 8 months, and service providers will keep complaining about this? But what accounts for the delay?
Indeed, if you really talk to providers, they will tell you that we have not delayed this much since 2009. What accounts for the delay is that the bulk of the funds which we use to run our affairs, that bulk of money comes from the National Insurance Levy, which is collected as part of the VAT. If you listen to the Minister of Finance during last Tuesday's presentation of the budget, you see that there is a substantial budget deficit which means that the ministry was under real pressure.
Communications consultant of NHIA, Ahmed Okwame, talking to Kingsley Obenchere. This news comes to you from Radio Ghana, Accra. The major stories: President Mahama makes first ministerial reshuffle. Mental health advocates call for implementation of Mental Health Act. 51 people die in Libya after consuming locally brewed alcohol. And papal election begins today at the Vatican. Do stay tuned.
Radio Ghana, the ultimate news reference. We are reliable. The world listens to our voice.
Welcome back. The Alliance for Mental Health Development is calling on government to implement the Mental Health Act. The director of ARC Foundation Ghana, Angela Jamnabwaji, made the call at a training session for stakeholders in mental health policy analysis, research and advocacy in Accra. Mrs. Jamnabwaji said issues of mental health development must not be left to advocacy groups alone. Government should also take part in finding solutions to them. Nana Amomari and Jean Christopher out this report.
The two-day training on mental health policy analysis, research and advocacy is to ensure that members engaged in advocacy involve policymakers to bring about the implementation of the Mental Health Act. The director of the ARC Foundation Ghana, Angela Jamina Abwaji, who is also an advocate, said there's a need to set up a mental health board to ensure that the legislative instrument which will operationalize certain parts of the act comes into being.
The whole act needs to be implemented. At least we need to start implementing portions of it because time has passed. We need to have the mental health board set up. We need to ensure that the legislative instrument which will operationalize certain parts of the act comes into being. We also need to make sure that mental health is integrated within the regional hospitals. So there are quite a number of provisions that need to be operationalized and quickly because, you know, lots of our people are not well mentally and physically as well, and we need to pay attention. But I think it's important now for us to turn our attention on the decision makers, the policy makers, you know, the government, to let them sit up and see to it that this act is implemented.
Mrs. Abwaji also said advocacy is not just creating awareness, educating the public, or speaking on radio alone, but involving decision makers to effect change in the society.
That report was by Nana Momari and Shane Quist.
Ensuring active and full involvement of the youth in the development process right from the grassroots level has been cited as a means of minimizing sexual reproductive health problems. This will stimulate their interest and help develop their talents. As former director of the Ghana Health Service, Professor Jemaine Bedu-Akosa, expressed these sentiments in Accra at the opening of an international conference on population and development. He therefore entreated stakeholders in the health sector to include more youth in its activities. Priscilla Oswanta has the story.
The three-day conference is being organized by the Alliance for Reproductive Health Rights in collaboration with the Population Council of Ghana. Its objective is to assess the extent of understanding of the International Conference on Population Development by West African youth. It is also to develop and strengthen linkages between youth leaders, networks in the sub-region and beyond. Professor Bedu-Akosa stated that teenage pregnancy and unsafe abortions continue to be high and contribute greatly to maternal mortality and morbidity in developing countries, including Ghana. He said these have dire consequences.
You have to be an estimate of 60 million plus in the world between ages 16 and 19 give that issue. And let me say here that the proportion among 10 to 14 years old is increasing by a minute. Infants born to these mothers account for 11% of all deaths worldwide. 95% happen in developing countries with many of these pregnancies and child deaths.
The main speaker of the conference, Professor Fred Sai, encouraged parents to send every child to school, especially the girl child. He said, education is the best tool that can be used to tackle challenges in society, including reproductive health issues.
First of all, the youth need to be educated, and all young people who willingly drop out of school are handicapping themselves. They will come to his village. All families should know that they should make their young people go to school, especially the young girls, and they should be able to help them understand their sexuality and what happens with sexual adventurism and so on.
Participants at the conference are from Ghana, Nigeria, Kenya, and Liberia.
Priscilla Uswansan reporting.
Students of the Ebenezer Senior High School soon face serious health problems if the people of Mpwase in Dansoman continue to use parts of the school as a dump site and a place of convenience. Despite attempts by the school authorities to deal with the situation, these despicable acts persist. The assistant headmaster of the school, Joseph Akwe, says the trend is worrying and has therefore called on the EMA to help rectify the situation. A report by Madeline Mensah.
The Ebenezer Secondary High School for some time now has been facing sanitation problems. This is due to the fact that some residents around the school have turned parts of the school compound into a dump site and a place of convenience. Some of them have also connected pipes through some parts of the school's wall that carry wastewater from their homes directly onto the school compound, thereby weakening the walls. The headmaster, Joseph Akwe, says even though the school authorities with the help of Dansoman Police and the Accra Metropolitan Assembly have attempted to discourage residents from engaging in such acts, the situation has worsened.
The problem of sanitation in the school, it has been contributed by our neighbors. When they clean their houses, they cabbage, they clean people are compound. Where they cannot get access to the compound. And behind the school wall is where they do business. We are getting people inside. Sometimes we even bring in the police. They come, that's a lie, they do some sweeping. They do the fact to a point that the wall kills them. And then they pass through that thing and see the cabbage in the school.
He also said part of the school's wall has caved in and intruders use the opening as an entrance into the school. Mr. Akwe said it has also become very difficult to maintain discipline among the students since most of them, especially those in the senior forms, use the opening as an exit during school hours. Some students Radio Ghana spoke to share their experiences on how the stench from the garbage wastewater and human estates affect their studies.
So normally when the stench from this classroom, some of them have their names with handkerchiefs, some run out of the class because they can't even like it this one.
In the 7 years since the time came to form one, the intruders have been coming to our school smoking away and other things. Sometimes they come to the other side of the school and even they'll be fighting and other things which will distract our class. Sometimes too, they'll be found around there. Even when the teachers talk to them, they try to fight back and other things. We sometimes distress our class.
Mr. Akwe expressed gratitude to Radio Ghana for its efforts and called on AMA to redouble its efforts to alleviate the situation.
That was a report by Madeline Mensah.
The Minister for Lands and Natural Resources, Alhaji Yusuf Husseini, has assured the Precious Minerals Marketing Corporation, PMMC, of government's willingness to collaborate with it to ensure the availability of gold and diamond products to Ghanaians. He said the PMMC's efforts to add value to natural resources are well noted. The time has therefore come for close collaboration with government. The minister said this when he paid a working visit to the PMMC in Accra. Roxanne Theodore and Anita Weskin have filed this report.
Established in 1963, the then Ghana Diamond Marketing Board was charged with the responsibility of purchasing and marketing the country's diamond. It later became the Diamond Marketing Corporation with the promulgation of the Diamond Decree in 1972, following government regulation of small-scale gold mining operations in 1989. It became Precious Mineral Marketing Corporation by PNDC Law 219. The minister visited places such as the production unit, the marketing department, gold refinery sites, gold laboratory, and the Kimberley Processing Certification Scheme. The minister interacted with board members to ascertain the challenges confronting the company. He said, government is aware of the role the PMMC play in the economy and in the management and utilization of the country's natural resources. Alhaji Fuseni pledged government support and challenged the company to do all it can in working with him to overcome challenges that would arise.
Opportunities clearly are there in your sector, but it requires hard, critical thought to be able to see those opportunities. I'm challenging you to look deep at your operation and work with me to overcome the problems that confront you in this country. I've read some of your reports. We are not very happy with the number of court cases, and most of the reports have not told us what brought about. Managing Director, we need to know, because we must hold persons who have been put in positions of responsibility accountable.
For his part, the Managing Director of the company, Ruben Dakundamte, said the gold business has been infiltrated by unlicensed foreigners who compete with PMMC and suppliers in the local gold market. The people also purchase gold from small-scale miners and export it. He appealed to the minister to assist in halting the activities of illegal foreign gold miners.
My report was found by Roxanne Siado and Anita Weskin.
Spokesperson for the Rawlinses and suspended Deputy General Secretary of the NDC, Kofi Adams, has been reinstated as a full member of the party. The decision was taken at a national executive meeting held yesterday. Mr. Adams was suspended by the party when he was heard saying on a leaked tape that he would do everything possible to prevent late President Mills from securing the mandate of Ghanaians for a second term. He was alleged to have had that phone conversation with the executive director of the Dankwa Institute, Gabi Asare Otredako, after the NDC's Union Congress, where Nana Kunedwajman Rawlins lost the party's presidential slot to President Mills. In a statement, Mr. Adams said it has been very difficult, during which he faced many trials from some elements within the very party he dedicated most of his life to. He says what held him together was his belief in the true ideals of the NDC, as well as the full knowledge that he was innocent of the charges preferred against him. He adds that he bears no grudge against anyone in the party and will continue working towards the achievement of even higher goals for the party and government.
The chairman of the Atlanta branch of the NPP, Kwesi Adjumani Mbuzia, has urged Ghanaians to live in the body and spirit of the national anthem to sustain the peace in the country. Addressing a news conference in Accra, Mr. Adjumani Mbuzia commended the three NPP stalwarts for resorting to the courts to pursue justice in what they describe as electoral fraud. This action, according to him, has become exemplary in Africa, citing Kenya's Prime Minister Raila Odinga's decision to seek justice in a similar case. Mr. Adjumani Mbuzia said that the NDP's action will show African leaders that there is no justification in using arms in protest against electoral disputes.
A rainstorm that hit Akokwa in the Atebwa Mountain district of Gnahafu on the 9th of this month has destroyed 87 houses in the community. As a result of the storm, about 500 people have been displaced. Our correspondent Emmanuel Mensah-Blood reports that the Gnahafu regional minister, Eric Opoku, visited the community to inspect some buildings that were affected and also interact with the chiefs and people. Mr. Opoku spoke to the people after calling on an elderly woman who is one of the three people who got injured as a result of the storm and visited the local Roman Catholic primary school which had its roof ripped off.
We have not had no officials from Sunyani to compile all properties destroyed and give us a report by the close of the day. We understand 78 houses are affected. We are bringing a contractor within this week to work on the school building to enable students to go back to school. We will bring roofing sheets and nails to help you roof your building. We are going to Kijiji to see what is going on there. The items will be shared according to the level of destruction. There will be no discrimination in sharing them. It is government priority to ensure that every one of you have a place to sleep.
The Central Mosque, the SDA Church, and the woman JHS were not spared the wrath of the storm. An elder of Akokwa, Nana Ohinibrinya, who spoke on behalf of the chief of the town, Nana Owususa Kofi, thanked the regional minister for visiting them in their time of need, adding that the people of Akokwa will be eternally grateful for the gesture. The Atebua Mountain District NADMU coordinator, Kwame Wusumensa, said his organization is working around the clock to bring relief to the people affected by the strange storm.
On the foreign front, at least 61 people have died after drinking tainted homemade alcohol in Tripoli, Libya. Reports say 378 people have been taken to hospitals in the capital since Saturday, and the number may rise further. A hospital official told Newsmen that the deaths occurred from methanol poisoning and that many patients are undergoing kidney dialysis for treatment.
Voting to elect a new pope will begin today in Rome. The 115 cardinal electors will attend a special mass this morning before processing into the Sistine Chapel to begin their deliberations in the afternoon. Saying of mass for the election of the Supreme Pontiff will begin at 9 o'clock in St. Peter's Basilica. Once they have taken an oath of secrecy, Monsignor Guido Marini, papal master of ceremonies, will call out the words extra alms, meaning everybody out, and the chapel doors will be locked to outsiders.
Now to end the main points again. President Mahama has announced a change in regional ministerial positions less than a month after appointing them, and more than 50 people have died in Libya and hundreds hospitalized after consuming cheap, locally brewed alcohol. Libyan health officials say their deaths occurred from methanol poisoning, and many patients are undergoing kidney dialysis for treatment. The news was presented by Samuel Essa
and Doreen Ampofu-Nakwa.